Talk Back with Gary Knoll, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. This program is the one I set aside each week where there's no guest. No original investigative reporting. I'll do that tomorrow. Have a very important series coming up on what's wrong with American medicine. And I have it broken into series. It'll go on for about 3 weeks. The Dirty Dozen I'm going to deal with tomorrow. 12 drugs we should never have allowed on the market. But not today. Today, we're going to hear about health, healing, longevity, and your calls throughout the entire program. I'm going to also be sharing the latest on natural allergy relief because tens of millions of Americans suffer from allergies. Interesting article I read on the plane by John Coleman. I'll share that with you. And also, we're always looking for better ways to lower our cholesterol if it's too high, shift the bad LDL cholesterol to the better HDL, and get down those pesky triglycerides, those fats that can cause us problems. Jim English has some information I'll share on that. Let's begin. Depression and chronic stress, what do they have in common? Well, look at people in public office, like the President of the United States. Have you noticed how often they seem to age faster than everyone else? Because they do. According to an article in Biological Psychiatry, as published in Science Daily, people with depression or those exposed to chronic stress, meaning day in, day out, exhibit shorter telomeres in white blood cells. Now, in lay language, a telomere, T-E-L-O-M-E-R-E, it is the single most important biological marker in your body. It's what determines your biological clock, how much time it has left on it. Visualize it this way. Every single major system in your body has its own biological clock. So let's say that you drink. The biological clock on your kidneys and liver and heart and brain will age faster. Let's say that you smoke. It's your lungs and your eyes. Let's say that you take sugar, it's your pancreas. Let's say that you don't exercise the way you should, it's your musculoskeletal system. Let's say that you take drugs, it's your hormonal system. Now, once you understand that we don't age at one rate, we age every single system. Your brain ages, and that's why you'll see people. Well, remember Ronald Reagan? He was physically, he was fine, but his brain had prematurely aged. So his brain was older biologically than the rest of his body. So the whole idea is looking at every single system in the body and say, how can I slow down the aging of each system in my body? And that's what we do every day, and I've done my whole career, is share with you how you can live a longer life. And then we can make some generalities that everyone can apply, like get rid of the inflammatory causing agents. Now, those are relatively simple. Caffeine, that's right at the top of the list. Not caffeine per se, but coffee per se. soft drinks, fructose, monosodium glutamate, the type of preservatives used in meat, then meat itself, chicken, pork, bagels, white bread, toasted buns, grilled cheese, all of those, potato chips, french fries, the things Americans love to consume, all of those will speed up the aging of the telomere. It'll shorten them. For those of you who are learning about this program for the first time, and we're going through a renaissance right now. Some of you know this, others of you are just on board. But we have seen a phenomena in the last 12 months where hundreds of thousands of new listeners are coming in to listen to this program. And just in one day, in one 8-minute period, we log 4,700 new listeners. For example, last Monday evening, listening to the most downloaded show in the United States, at least that we have been able to find, and that's the Progressive Commentary Hour. Every Monday evening from 7 to 8, I do the Progressive Commentary Hour. Tomorrow, for example, I'm going to be doing the Commentary Hour on how 50,000 children disappeared, many were murdered, by the church and church schools in Canada. No one did a thing about it. One of the major cover-ups of genocide in North American history. Well, it's now being exposed. And you'll hear about it firsthand by one of the priests who investigated it and what they did to him, the church did to him, when he went to the elders of the church and says, here's the evidence. They didn't want this coming out. They didn't want another Catholic sexual scandal. Well, it's out. And you'll hear it exclusively on the program. In any case, we're finding it word of mouth. That's all it is. Just word of mouth is spreading. And people are coming on board for these kind of hard-hitting programs. And we're doing about one original article per week. That's a lot of articles. That's a lot of research. It's a lot of writing. But we're pumping it in because people want this. All over the world, people want new vital information that can empower them. But just a little background on all this for those of you who are new. I come from a background not just in journalism, but as a scientist. And a scientist at the Institute of Pi Biology, a very orthodox, primarily anti-cancer research establishment that was there for decades and decades. And they were doing research in chemotherapy and medications to help people recover from radiation burns. In any case, I worked upstairs, and I generally worked in the evening because I had a full schedule during the daytime. I had my radio show to do. I was writing books. I was out there advocating for a lot of social issues. But at nighttime, it was quiet, and I had a lot of space, about 3,000 square feet. And I did some unusual things. And one of the things I did is I tried something. Frequently, wild rats would get into the downstairs lab. And just as an experiment, I tried a treadmill, a stress test. How long could a wild rat stay on a treadmill compared to a regular rat from the lab? There was no comparison. The wild rat had a tremendous immune system, and the rat in the lab was fatigued very quickly. We're not talking about like the lab rat, maybe 3 to 4 minutes, the one outside, the wild rat, 2 hours. So I said, well, something's going on in that wild rat that's not going on in here. What is it? And could this apply to people who lose some of our capacities to be more natural in our approach to life? So what I did was I took a group of rats and I separated them. One group lived their normal life and their normal environment. And they were downstairs, and they have all the technicians that would mark the date they were born and the litter they came from and their weight and when they died. But the ones upstairs, I wanted to see what would happen if you didn't keep a rat in an enclosed environment. So I let them run wild all over the room. Well, this just freaked everybody out. They thought it was a total nut job. And because I had over 1,000 rats up there. But I would hide the food in different places. I didn't give them water. Instead, I gave them fresh-made juices. One day it would be wheatgrass juice. Another day it would be grapefruit. And then it'd be watermelon. And then a combination of vegetable juices. And I never gave them standardized rat chowder that come in little pellets. Now, the ones downstairs got that. I had to make sure that what I was giving them was equal, so it wasn't unfair. So if they got certain gram of protein and fats, I had to give the same percentage. But mine came from whole grains, organic. And what happened was that at the end of a year, when their rats had all died, mine were alive. And in fact, when I took my results down and explained that at the Monday meeting where all the different scientists would gather and go over their work and bring everyone up to date, and the lab director says, "And Gary, how are you doing upstairs?" And I said, "Well, pretty good." I said, "We've completed a year and none of our rats have died." And one of the other heads of the department says, "Well, that's because you started at a different time." I said, "No, they all started the same time." He said, "That's not possible." So they looked at the chart and saw that all of the rats, 1,000 rats from downstairs, all were dead. 1,000 rats upstairs were all alive. They didn't believe it. They did not believe it. So I had to do the experiment all over again. And this time, all of the different department heads were observing what I was doing. Well, it doesn't make you feel good when you've done something that has never been done before in the United States in scientific work with animals. At least the experiment I did had never been done. And then they deny it because they can't believe the results you've gotten. It's much like homeopathy. When a careful review of this peer review literature of double-blind placebo-controlled studies on homeopathy was done by a group of British scientists, they didn't like the results because it showed that it worked. And they actually discussed this, that they had anticipated it not working, but when it did, they decided not to promote it because they didn't understand it. What do you mean the smaller a dose of a water, the greater the energy? We don't know. That's all mumbo jumbo. They had no idea of energy exchange. And that's what homeopathy is. In any case, so here these people just didn't understand this at all. Why, for example, one of them would argue, why would a rat that's in a controlled environment, why would they live a less life than one in an open environment? I said, well, how about you? What would happen if you were in a prison every day, 6 feet wide, 8 feet long, 8 feet tall, and you never got out of it? You had the same identical amount of sunlight, heat, and food and water every day. And you couldn't have any visitors. And you couldn't interrelate with anyone else. Just solitary confinement. How long do you think that you would exist without suffering from chronic stress? Now, you know what chronic stress does. Well, one of the people at the Institute at that time was Dr. Lawrence Lachan, a legendary holistic psychotherapist who was the one who showed that he could predict which women would develop breast cancer and arthritis based upon pre-interviews when they had no breast cancer and they had no arthritis. Just those who felt that they were unappreciated and unloved were at a much higher grade, a greater rate, because they were going to be chronically stressed, but they were going to hold their stress in. And he found that women who held their stress in, meaning they hid their angst, their anger, their disappointments, put on a happy face, but they felt like they were, years later, decades later, they came out with the concept of the doormat syndrome, where everybody wipes their feet on you and you continue to allow it. This is way before any of that. This is just at the same time that Dr. Hans Selye, the greatest scientist up to that point in the world, in distinguishing two types of stress. The type of stress we love, we're going on a vacation, we're getting married, we're on a hot date, we're going to go dancing, we're going to a carnival. Where I came from in West Virginia, it was a big deal to go to the circus once a year, and a big deal to go to the carnival a couple times in the summertime, and then think what ride you're going to ride, the bullet ride or whatever, and you really look forward to that. And we had to go out and see how many lawns we had to cut and all the different things we had to do to earn an allowance to be able to pay that quarter to get on the ride. But it was exciting. That's good stress. That stress doesn't adversely affect our cortisol level or our epinephrine. But then there is distress. And distress is what comes when we're worried. Now, as many of you know, right now I'm in the last, I have 3 weeks to go on the road, traveling all over, and I will finish all of my principal photography. I've been on this for 2.5 years. Out this time for 8 weeks, I've been on the road. And filming people who are caught up in a nightmare that they don't understand. Many of them are. I went through a week of just filming single mothers with kids. A whole unique set of dynamics. They have to be the father and the mother. They have to be a friend, and they have to comfort people, and they have to show their teenage daughters and sons how not to be depressed when everyone else can go to the mall and spend money they can't. And at the same time, still make it a joyful house or a car in some cases. I just finished filming yesterday a family of three living in a car. Yet they took me to show me their home that they had, and it was a very nice home. It was a $400,000 home. It was a five-bedroom home, about 3,500 square feet in a nice neighborhood, and they lost it. And they waited too long before they started making changes. And the mother acknowledges, she said, my husband was a good provider, but we waited too long. He was sure he would get another job. He has two master's degrees, and one's in engineering. But he waited, and he didn't get the jobs. And he said, you know, he's not going to go out. What do you expect me to do, go and flip hamburgers? Until the day came when he had to go and flip hamburgers. So he went from making $120,000 a year to making $20,000 a year. But their lifestyle was such that they couldn't afford to maintain the lifestyle. And they used up their savings, and he cashed in his 401k. And he's 48 and she's 45. And their kids are 16 and 15, and they're out. And he had one choice. He has one brother in Oregon. But his brother's going through a rough time. And his brother's in the midst of a divorce. So his brother's moved out of the house, so he didn't have any place to live, no in-laws. Do you ever imagine what it's like when you don't have a safety net? And how fortunate people are who do? And how frequently they take it for granted and don't always show respect to those who they're benefited from their generosity? Even going back to parents. What's interesting is how many, and this is something new, how many senior citizens are now living with their kids again, or how many college graduates are going back home, and how many baby boomers who had their college kids come back and live with them, now they're having to, all of them, go back and live with the senior citizens. All these combinations that we haven't seen in America since the Great Depression. So I'm filming it. And nothing's being done to help these people. And I will deal on tomorrow's show with a new report that shows the real bailout. It's just staggering. We've been lied to. I will tell you that right now. That all the details about who got money, we have the actual Federal Reserve's details. This was done by Levy Economics Institute of Bard College. And this is who they gave money to. For example, term auction facility, central bank liquidity swaps, Bear Stearns bridge loan, a Maiden Lane I, primary dealer credit facility, $29 trillion. That's $29 trillion, $616 billion, than $4 million, they gave. Not a penny of that went to the average person or small businesses. In any case, so you see their priorities, and you're just not one of them. And I'm incorporating all this into the whole ethics of how the media doesn't cover these people. Nobody's covering them. And people are confused. They're lost. They're really miserable. In any case, I'm out there. I'm filming all this. And what I'm saying is all these people are living under chronic stress. From the time they get up in the morning, it's chronic stress. Even if they're working, they're not working at a living wage. It's chronic stress. And with stress, you get depression. So now we got a double negative. People are depressed for a myriad of reasons, and people are suffering from chronic stress. Chronic stress is like turning on a four-alarm fire bell and not turning it off. How do you turn the alarm off? When you're in chronic stress, it stays on. That chronic stress and that depression ages you prematurely. So I said to this department head, I said, so I'm giving these wonderful little creatures five things they don't have. All the room they want to explore. Wonderful music, very soothing music, very soft meditative music. I was playing at that time Stephen Halpert music. I give them juices that are organic, foods that are organic, supplementing with supplements, and I give them a lot of attention. He's, this is all crazy. It's all crazy. I said, well, it's no more crazy than the work you're all doing. I said, the difference is I'm getting results and you're not. Well, that didn't. That got him angry. But a year later, once again, the study was done. All their rats were dead. Mine were all alive. And not only were they alive, but they lived 30% longer lifespan. I went on to do this experiment five times. And then the last time I did it, it was the final kicker that would set the stage for how I would be helping people even to this day. I was able, we ran short of rats, and they were on a budget, and they wouldn't give me the rats. So they would suffocate their rats that weren't responding to their medications for radiation burns. And they would radiate the back of the rat's back, and they would shave the hair, and then they put this piece of cellophane on it, and they would mark it, and then each day they would put their salves on, and if it didn't see a healing, then the rats put in this 55-gallon barrel, and they suck out the air, and it's suffocating. So when they had all left at night, I'd go downstairs and mark the cars, take all those rats upstairs. Now, it took a period of time, but I'm thinking, all right, what can we do to slow down the free radicals? We'll give them massive amounts of antioxidants. So I was given humongous amounts of antioxidants to these rats. Not only that, but I was putting antioxidant creams made out of aloe vera and vitamin E at very high doses, 3,000 to 4,000 units of vitamin E, topically. And also there was this hyperbaric chamber, and that they had used downstairs. Well, I was using it, except for not for humans. Man, they would have freaked out if they saw all this going on. I had to do all this very quietly. And I didn't have any assistance. It was just me. Well, at the end of this experiment, I was able to find different ways of fasting the rats. And when I fasted the rats by lowering caloric intake, they lived longer and were healthier and leaner. And again, they couldn't believe it because they said, well, where did you get the rats? And I said, I used your rats. What do you mean used our rats? I said, well, the rats that you were going to kill. They said, that's not possible. I said, why not? Because our rats had radiation poisoning. Yeah, I'm aware of that. Well, they would have died. Yeah, but they didn't. Are you saying that you healed the rats? I said, some of them I was able to, some I was not. But I was able to use enough rats that it actually worked as an experiment, and they didn't want to know what I did. That's the last thing they wanted to hear. What did you do to heal the rats? And so that experiment, a very important one, and most of my other ones were never recorded. They were used to send them out for publication. In any case, that's all right, because I was working at Trafalgar Hospital also, and I was giving the patients there these very same therapies. So today, when I'm putting people on protocols, It's based upon a lot of experiments and a lot of experience showing what happens when you can slow down the shortening of the telomeres, reduce oxidative stress, turn off inflammation, all of which, oxidative stress and inflammation, accelerates the shortening of the telomeres. And the shorter the telomeres, the quicker you die. It's that simple. So unhealthy lifestyles, stress, bad temperament, anger, rage, emotional dysfunction, all speed up your death cycle. So telomere length measured in white blood cells is always shorter among those who are depressed. And so what you've got to do is de-stress and get rid of the depression, and you can live a longer life. Now, finally, after all these years, at UMA University and Antwerp University and Stockholm University and Linköping University and the Department of Medical Biosciences, all these different people and all these different professors have come together, like Professor Rolf Adelson, and they published this article in Biological Psychiatry showing depression and chronic stress accelerate aging. So just remember this, each day, every time you get upset, every time you get depressed, you're just taking days each time off your life. I'm going to be taking your calls, and in just a moment, I'm Gary Null. Our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And I don't like to rush anything. I like to tell the stories and take my time on this particular program. But at least everything is empowering. Everything that I'm going to share with you, you can use today and tomorrow to live a longer, healthier life. Now, from the West Indian Medical Journal, coconut water is shown to significantly reduce high blood pressure. Now, this is the first article I've seen on this. And so on the one hand, we're being told to take blood pressure-lowering medication, and on the other, research shows that coconut water is very effective as a natural remedy for lowering blood pressure. And of course, coconut water, and there's also a tropical drink in India. It's called Mabi, M-A-U-B-Y. It's made with buckthorn tree bark and coconut water together. It's really good. So I would suggest that you drink coconut water 3 times a day if you have high blood pressure. You're also getting a lot of potassium, and that's also good for you. And you're also getting vitamin C and magnesium. All three of those are linked to helping with blood pressure. Now, if you want to reduce your risk of bowel cancer, high fiber. Now, most of you know this, but it's never a problem to have another study confirm it. Imperial College of London found that for every 10 grams of cereal, meaning whole grain cereal, taken, the risk of cancer falls by 10%. Well, I believe we should have 50 grams a day, so that would be 50% reduction just by the fiber alone. Now, of course, we know that brown rice and oatmeal and porridge, that's what we're talking about here. Now, you add in vitamin C and garlic, and that also reduces colon rectal cancer. Now, a lot of you take healthy drinks, and some of you take compounded powders made of either fruits or vegetables, which I'm a big advocate of. And I always ask, I get asked, what's this chlorella thing? What's it do? Well, a lot of good research on chlorella. The latest is that this simple, very easy to understand, it's a single-celled green algae. And it's a part of a whole micro species. And it's used all over the world. Now, what it does is this. It's been around since the 40s and 50s as far as people actually using it. But it's rich in chlorophyll. It has a very high nutrient density. It has lots of phytonutrients and antioxidants, and it acts as a natural antibiotic. Chlorella is very, very pure chlorophyll. It purifies the blood, and that allows the body to utilize oxygen more efficiently. It helps eliminate toxins from the body and molds and industrial pollutants. It gives you a wonderful source of magnesium that helps support your brain and nervous system and protects against toxic accumulation in the central nervous system. It activates the PPAR receptor with the nucleus of the cell. Now, mind you, and just lay language, the receptor helps transcribe and code certain DNA factors that function open the cell membrane. This is essential for cellular detoxification and normalization of insulin resistance, and also contains a GLA and zinc, all important for insulin receptor. And it contains the phytonutrient that you've probably never heard of. It's called sporopollenin, S-P-O-R-O-P-O-L-L-E-N-I-N, sporopollenin. Now, sporopollenin is effective at binding neurotoxic debris that any other natural substance, it's light years ahead of it. It can detoxify the body from biotoxins like tuberculosis and Lyme's disease and tetanus toxoid and mold. It filters xenobiotics like phytates and dioxins and pesticides and industrial waste. It binds to heavy metals like mercury and lead, nickel and aluminum. And it's just terrific. So it's just a superstar of superstars when it comes to detoxification. So that's the latest on the nutrients that can make a difference. And now just a little bit of information to help those of you who are allergic. As we know, airborne allergens are very common at different times of the year. And people sneeze and they cough and they get sore throats or itchy throats. And although increased air pollution and is going to affect you if you have a weakened immune system, if you don't get enough good sleep, if you're distressed. But what then if you're living in a sick building? Or what if you're working in a sick building? Then you end up with sick building syndrome. And there are a lot of reasons that we end up with allergies, but a weakened immune system is at the top of my list because of one of the very first things I do anytime I'm counseling someone who has allergens. I detoxify them and then build up their immune system. Now, upper airway allergies, allergic rhinitis, are a symptom of a complex of hay fever with seasonal or perennial sneezing, and nasal congestion and conjunctivitis, which is inflammation of the eyes, and itching. And that's what a lot of people have. It's a big, big business out there. What generally happens is this. You end up with neutrophils and polymorphonuclear leukocytes and T cells are all activated in allergies and proliferate rapidly in the blood and nasal fluids due to the action of the inflammatory cytokines interleukin 1 and beta 2 and 4 and 5 and 8. Now, during these bouts of allergy and asthma, higher levels of chemoattractants such as histamine and eotaxin draw the eosinophils and other immune cells into the airways and nasal passages. And the primary cause of discomfort and allergies is the congestion, the fluid outpouring, and the swelling in the upper airways caused by this massive inflow of responder cells to such a small area of the body, which shuts off the free flow of air to the lungs. Now, the traditional method of treating these allergic rhinitis is with antihistamines. Yeah. Yeah, those will work temporarily, but they're not good. And antihistamines either prevent the release of histamine from mast cells or block histamine receptor sites, but do not address the toxic effects of already proliferated neutrophils and T cells. But there are other things that do that. For example, top of my list, rosmarinic acid. Rose, R-O-S, marinic, M-A-R-I-N-I-C, acid, It's a plant. It's a polyphenol found in the genus of plants, which includes basil, sage, mint, rosemary, and the prilla leaf. So when you take prilla leaf extracts of the acid, it can suppress allergic reactions and relieves allergy symptoms by preventing the activation of immune responder cells by inducing cellular suicide in already activated immune responder cells. And it's very rich in natural flavonoids. The rosmarinic acid only kills off excess allergy-activated immune cells, which, while leaving the vast bulk of responder cells to fight off bacteria and other foreign invaders. So it's very good. It's been shown to kill allergy-activated T cells and neutrophils during allergic reactions without affecting the T cells or neutrophils in their resting state. So using traditional antihistamines in allergic reactions is somewhat analogous to turning off a fire alarm without putting out the fire. Antihistamines do nothing to lower the number of excess immune cells once they are formed. High levels of immune cells in their active form can lead to other dangers, such as free radical damage to normal tissue and to circulating proteins like HDL. So that's what I would suggest. So again, write this down. You'll want to get, well, you could get sage, and those are all good, but I would suggest you just go for the best of all and get yourself some rosmarinic acid. And you can buy it in a health food store. It's great for you. Now, there are other things you can do also. You can get the lutein, L-U-T-E-O-L-I-N, lutein. It's a natural plant flavonoid, and it's been shown to have potent anti-allergenic properties, and it's found along with rosmarinic acid in various species of perilla plant. And for centuries, the Japanese have used lutein from perilla extract in ancient Kenpo herbal formulas to treat bronchial asthma. Even in current Japan today, you have Kenpo herbal formulas found in all the pharmacies. So that's another thing that you can use. But that's not all either. You could also, and big on this would be quercetin. And I'm a big believer in quercetin, about 2 to 4,000 milligrams a day, and vitamin C. So that would help you with allergies. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment, and we're going to take on for the rest of the show your questions. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we can't like welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. I realize you can't listen to all the programs I do, but I do almost 16 hours of live broadcasting a week. And if you miss a program, go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, the archives, and download any show. In particular, look at all the new articles and the old articles and also the Progressive Commentary Hour. Let's say hello to Mary from Brooklyn. Hi, Mary. Your turn.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. I'm just calling to ask, I know that I'm becoming very allergic to things very fast. Almost everything I eat. For the last 10 years, I was struggling with yeast problem. Can't seem to, like, get it under control. I wonder if that has something to do with it.
It can. Almost always when we're dealing with yeast, which is a almost always related to our immune system. When it overgrows, we have to first get rid of all of the fermented foods, including vinegar. Mm-hmm. We have to get rid of all sugars and dairy products and wheat. And then we have to build the immune system. That's what's important. But can that lead to allergies? Absolutely it can. And that's why you want to make sure that you're getting acidophilus, non-dairy acidophilus, because you want to have something that is a powerful immune enhancer with digestive enzymes to improve digestion. I find most people, probably 90% of the people with allergies, have poor digestion. So we want to be able to take some digestive enzymes with a meal. Then you'll want to make sure you're getting adequate calcium and magnesium from chelate, about 1,000 milligrams of each. I would also use, for allergies, inositol hexaphosphate or IP6. That will support your immune system. Then quercetin. I just mentioned quercetin, but for allergies, it is absolutely essential. Quercetin. I'm going to suggest 1,000 milligrams three times or four times a day. 100 milligrams of the B complex, because that's needed for proper digestion and nerve function. And anyone who's been under physical stress or psychological stress will need extra B complex. Vitamin C protects the body from allergens, and it also turns down and moderates the immune inflammatory response, generally between 5 and 20,000 milligrams in buffered form. Now, a superstar protecting your cell is liquid garlic, three times a day, proteolytic enzymes to help that digestion, especially if you've had candida, because the vast majority of people I've worked with who have candida have poor digestion. So proteolytic enzymes with each meal. And then coenzyme A supports the immune system's detoxification, and we want to get the toxins out of there, and coenzyme Q10, which supports the cellular oxidation and immune function, and about 500,000 milligrams in divided doses, and glucosamine sulfate. It's important in regulating the mucus secretions of the respiratory system. And where do most people suffer their allergic reactions? In the respiratory system. Then L-cysteine, which is a very important amino acid, you want that at 500 milligrams two or three times a day, because that promotes healing of your lungs. And then manganese, generally about 5 milligrams, and then potassium, and then a great herb would be Boswellia. Bos, B-O-S, Wellia, W-E-L-L-I-A. It's also known as Indian frankincense, and it works at the cellular level to reduce inflammation. And also eucalyptus and thyme leaves are very good. Hope that helps you, Mary. Thank you very much for your call. All the best to you. And we're happy to take your calls now. I mentioned earlier in the program that I'm going to help you lower the bad LDL cholesterol and the triglycerides without medication, and do it in a way that can help any of the 61 million Americans who are currently suffering from cardiovascular disease. Remember, cardiovascular disease isn't one disease. It's a broad spectrum of disorders: a high blood pressure, coronary heart disease, which is heart attack and chest pain, stroke, congestive heart failure, birth defects of the heart and blood vessels. And a lot of people die of those two causes alone. Heart attacks and strokes kill over 930,000 Americans, and 40% of deaths of all causes. So it's number one physical killer in the United States. So lowering that cholesterol level, especially the LDL, the low-density lipoprotein, is important. And it's not that difficult to do if you do it right. Now, how can we do it? Well, there's some simple things we can do that can make a difference. I'm going to go after the simple things. I can't tell you to take statin drugs, and I wouldn't, but that's your right to. But what about if you wanted to take something different? And that's where I come in. And I'm going to suggest that you try this: tangerine flavonoids. Did you ever hear of that? Bet you haven't. I don't know anyone else is suggesting this. Now, we know that the flavonoids that we get when we eat grapes and berries, apples, very important. They're very rich in what are called natural phenolic or polyphenolic compounds. And there are hundreds of these. In fact, there's over 4,000 different flavonoids that have been identified, and each one exerts a different biological effect in the body. Well, the bioflavonoids from citrus fruit, like oranges and tangerines and grapefruit, have been found to reduce oxidative drug metabolism and inhibit chemical carcinogenesis and tumor development and exert anti-inflammatory and anti-allergic effects. Additionally, we've seen that the flavonoids can reduce the incidence of cardiovascular disease and cancers in humans. Now, the orange peel produces two powerful free radical scavengers, and there's a particular nutrient, and it is called nobilitin. That's nobilitin. Nobilitin is very powerful. Now, there's also rutin, R-U-T-I-N, and hesperidin, H-E-S-P-E-R-I-D-I-N, hesperidin. Now, these all protect your cardiovascular system. They inhibit the bad LDL cholesterol, where they reduce inflammation. They enhance endothelial function. They reduce thrombosis, and you should have this before you go on an airplane because thrombosis is very common by sitting for a long period of time with your feet at that angle and reducing circulation. Now, we also have a subset of flavonoids. And these subset of flavonoids, these polymethoxylated flavones, have been shown to possess especially potent anti-cancer, immunosupportive, and cardiovascular benefits. So the polymethoxylated flavones, flavonoid compounds, they're derived from the peels of oranges and tangerines and other citrus fruit. They're very highly methoxylated and contain biologically active molecules, and those help us. So the two most researched polymethoxylated flavones are nobilitin and tangeritin. And so orange peels, that's why I suggest juice the whole orange, but also get those tangerines. And this is the tangerine time of year. And the tangerine it's got the oil of the tangerine, and that oil of the tangerine, which is in its skin, has very strong anti-cancer properties and also is able to protect your nervous system. It's neuroprotective. It also can cross the blood-brain barrier to protect the brain cells, the hypothalamus, for example, the hippocampus. And so you definitely want what is called tangeritin, T-A-N-G-E-R-E-T-I-N. It can interfere with the triglycerides, lowering triglycerides up 37% in one study. All good. Now, then I'd throw in a few more. Tocotrienols, they're rarely used, but they should be. Toco, T-O-C-O, tri, T-R-I, enols, E-N-O-L-S, tocotrienols. They are the third cardiovascular protective component I'm going to speak about today, and they're naturally occurring antioxidant analogs of tocopherols. Now, we are all familiar with vitamin E, and that's where they come from. They lower the total serum cholesterol. They lower the LDL, bad cholesterol. All good things. So I would take those. So those are the things that can help you, all natural, with your heart and allow you to live a longer life. Let's say hello now to Brennan from Kentucky. Hi, Brennan. You're on.
Actually, it's Brennan. How you doing, sir?
Good.
I hear you a lot talk about fasting and detox, but I'd like to know what would I do if I want to fast. What would be the problem to do it? Just don't eat? Or I heard about this cayenne and water diet. Could you give me some info on that, please?
Sure. The best way of, first of all, I don't suggest people go on a detox unless it's supervised. So if you have someone who is qualified would be a holistic physician or holistic dietitian And there are holistic dietitians, a holistic chiropractor who has a background in nutrition sciences, a holistic nutritionist. These are the people who are holistic nurse. These are the people who have a naturopath. They have specific skills. And it's always best to go in and get a full evaluation, meaning get a what's called a SMAC-24. You'll get all your blood chemistry done, and then you could get a hormone panel if you're a man or woman over the age of 40, so you see what impact it will have on raising or lowering different hormones in the body, and then get an inflammatory marker like C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, LDL cholesterol, because you can't feel these. But these hormones, mostly produced in your liver, markers, they're inflammatory markers. When they're elevated, you can't see them, you can't feel them, but if they go up, your chance of a heart attack or stroke go up with them. So you want to get them down. So always start with a baseline of knowing what it is your body is going through at that moment. And then in 4 weeks of being on a detox, then measure it again. Now, the detox generally means two things. One, you eliminate all known toxins from your diet. Everything that could possibly cause inflammation or is an adulterated or processed food. And that means what most people consume. Packaged food, canned food, processed food, concentrated calorie food, sugary food, dairy food, you eliminate all of it, 100%. And include now lots of green vegetable juices, but not concentrated greens. Start off with light greens, meaning the whole cucumber, the juice of two whole lemons, one whole grapefruit, one orange, tangerine, apple, and celery. That's what your juice should be. And you start with making a 16-ounce glass. And that's your first week, you have that every day. Your second week, you have two. Your third week, three. Your fourth week, four. So at the end of 4 weeks, you're drinking four 16-ounce glasses of this detoxification juice. This is the best overall detox. Now, you're going to spike it with some vitamin C from buffered vitamin C and quercetin. You can put in some of take a capsule of the, probably the 80,000 heat unit cayenne with that. And then you want to make sure that you have a good salad three times a day and with a miso soup. And in the miso soup, you're going to have a full serving of sea vegetables, probably a barley miso, a light barley miso, which is very tasty and very good for you, and a full cup of diced shiitake mushrooms, a quarter cup of onion, and an eighth a cup of garlic. And you put all this into this miso, and you drink that throughout the day. Eat it throughout the day. Now, then in the morning, you start your day with a protein shake from a non-genetically engineered protein. You can have soy, rice, split pea, hemp. There are several different types of good protein. With 1 tablespoon of coconut oil, not a teaspoon, a tablespoon of coconut oil, organic raw coconut oil, and flaxseed oil. That's a detox. That's a beginner's detox. You're getting high fiber, healing nutrients, you're getting raw foods, you're cleansing. That's what you need to do if you really want to do it right. This idea of just taking some bentonite clay and taking a little apple cider vinegar, no. That's not the right way of doing it. All right? Does that give you a little direction there?
Yes, sir. I appreciate your direction. Thanks a lot.
All the best to you. And thank you for listening down in Kentucky. I'm Gary Knoll, and that brings us up to the end of the program. Thank you all very much for calling in. And I always enjoy taking at least one full program a week just to deal with your health and empower people to live a longer life, all things that are doable, nothing that's expensive. In fact, it's inexpensive to eat in the healthy way. And every single show I do, at noon every day, at least the first 20 minutes is only about health and nutrition, then about the environment, then a guest and some other issues. So I hope you tune in for those. I want to thank people who are coming on board. They have found us. It's gone viral. We're happy. We're acting as a resource center for information on important social issues with some of the finest minds in the world. And one of those is going to come at you right now, Michael Rupert. Have a good evening, everyone.